I want to give a lesson this morning, church planting from the Bible, church planting from the Bible. And this idea of church planting, folks, I'm going to liken it this morning to that of planting and tending a garden. And I think this is such a good example when you go down through it. Let's look here at Acts chapter 11 and verse number 19. Acts chapter 11 and verse number 19. The Bible says this, "Now when they were scattered, when they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians and preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch." Verse number 23, "Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added to the Lord." You go on down to the end, toward the end of this chapter, folks, and you're going to find out that's verse number 26. The end of verse number 26, it says, "And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." These guys spent a whole year there teaching and preaching and winning people to Christ, and this church was established there in Antioch. And that, folks, is one of the first churches that you see established in the Word of God. And that's what we're going to talk about. Going to go to Acts 11, Acts 16, Philippians chapter 1 this morning and teach this lesson today. But I want to liken this to church planting. You think about church planting. Well, I mean, the very name has planting in it, right? Church planting. Well, I wish it was as easy, and I've got a description here in your lesson plan. Sadly, church planting is not as simple as grabbing a Baptist seed packet from the mustard seed supply store, going home, throwing those seeds into the ground, and then poof, up springs a Baptist church. If that was the case, there would be a whole lot more church planters going to the field, all right? But that's just not, it's not that simple, right? It'd be nice, but it's not that simple. Church planting is, however, similar in idea to that of planting and working a garden. You have to sow the gospel seed, water the gospel seed, and then in God's timing, he'll provide the increase of souls for that labor. That's the Bible analogy, by the way, in Matthew chapter 13. I don't have time to go all these Bible passages this morning. There's just too much in the Bible about it. This could be an entire series. But folks, that's the Bible plan. And by the way, when you work the plan works, right? When you work the plan works. Now, any of you who have planted a garden, tended a garden, harvested a garden, worked a garden, know that the key ingredient to a successful garden is work. Work. That's the successful ingredient, or the ingredient that makes it successful. Work is vital to any successful endeavor, but work is not a blanket guarantee. I want you to listen carefully and don't miss this, because you guys are a church that have invested in a lot of different church plants down through the years. And you're going to continue to invest in church plants down through the years because that's who Blessed Hope Baptist Church is. Work, hard work, does not always guarantee a great harvest in a particular community for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 6, I don't have time to go there this morning. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus sent his disciples out two by two to the towns and villages around him. They worked. The disciples, by the way, you'll never convince me the disciples were lazy men. They were hardworking men. The Lord Jesus Christ hand-selected these men to work with him, right? And Jesus is a good assessor of talent and ability and work ethic, right? And so these men worked and they toiled and they tried to go to these towns and villages sharing the gospel and sowing the gospel seed. And there were some towns and some villages that would not receive them nor hear them. That's what the Bible says in Mark chapter 6. They would not receive them and they would not hear them. Jesus then instructed his disciples to, quote, "shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them." That's very interesting to me. By the way, as a church planner, listen very carefully. Work does not always mean a bountiful, fruitful garden in the fall. There are many variables that can affect the success of a garden. Soil imbalance and soil obstructions and drought, lack of rain and overabundance of rain, worms and beetles and insects and deer and raccoon and all kind of other things. Kids riding their bikes. That can affect your garden. It's affected my garden before. Sometimes the lawnmower getting a little too close. can affect your garden. All right. There's a lot of things that can affect a garden. All right. But listen very carefully, folks, and I want you to think about this. All right. Many, many times we put in hard work into a garden, then experience maybe a minuscule harvest in the fall. And disappointment and discouragement come as we realize that our work that year did not yield the plentiful harvest that we had imagined and that we had worked for. Church planters know what I'm talking about. It's important to stop and make this note, folks. I have never planted a garden in the spring and got nothing in the fall. I may not have gotten what I had hoped and dreamed I got, but I always got something. And can I say this, folks? You know what? No matter these church plans, Brother James is going to go out. And by the way, thank God for that. We've already taken him on for support. He's already presented over at Victory, and we're excited about that. We're going to help every bit, every way that we can. But you know what? Listen, folks, he's got dreams, and I had dreams coming to Victory Baptist Church. And you know what? I can tell you this right now, folks. The harvest in Bloomfield has not been what I had dreamed it was 11 and a half years ago. But folks, that doesn't mean that it's a failure. Because listen, folks, people have been saved. God's work has been done. By the way, there's some, and I'm not saying this is the case at Victory. I'm just telling you, there's some cases where a church planter goes to a town and he begins to establish and to plant this church. But that church or that the soil of that community is not willing to accept or to hear it. And so the Lord commands them to shake off the dust, move on as a testimony against that town. That does happen at times. But thankfully, many of us have experienced the years where we plant and we sow and the Lord waters and the sunshine and the mixture and all that is perfect. And then, boy, in that fall time, towards that late summer fall, boy, you get that harvest that just, I mean, boy, it fills up your table and it fills up your countertops and it fills up your sink and it fills up your garage. And it's everything. You're working till late at night, early in the morning, late at night, every day, all day for a week, just trying to process everything and get it where it's not spoiling on you, right? Boy, isn't that awesome? Nothing better in the fall, folks, than a fresh garden vegetable dinner. Come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And so that's a blessing. But listen very carefully, folks. The fact of the matter is, this is the analogy that the scripture uses in Matthew 13 in different places. Let me start this morning. I'm going to go quickly through this first point because this is just commonly understood things here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You understand these things. I want to get to the second point this morning, but we're talking about church planting. Let me first of all biblically define what a church is. Well, you're going to biblically define anything. You got to go to law of first mention, right? When's it first mentioned in the scripture? What's the Lord talking about? Well, it's Matthew 16, 18. You don't have to turn there. You know the verse. The Bible says, "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let me break this verse down here quickly. The Bible says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build." Many people falsely claim that the church was founded upon Peter. The church was not founded upon Peter, Catholics. All right. Peter is Petros, little piece of rock, pebble, that little stone that you get in the bottom of your boot or your shoe that drives you insane. That's who Peter was. I mean, not literally, all right? Figuratively speaking, all right? Then you have the word rock. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. That is the word Petra. The word Petra is, and I love this, mass of rock. Literally has the idea of being a bedrock stone or a cornerstone. I wonder where that came from, right? The cornerstone. Jesus is the rock upon which the church is built. By the way, Peter's own words will tell you that that is true. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, the rock, listen carefully, don't miss this, the rock is a him, not a what. It's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, every church that is worth its salt, that is going to do what God calls it to do, is built upon the person of Jesus Christ. Then he says this, I'll build my church, right? My is the word M-O-U, mouth. Literally means mine and speaks of ownership. By the way, listen very carefully. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ bought us with his blood? Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the Bible says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Amen right there. Thank God for that. Jesus calls it my church because he purchased it. He owns it with his own blood on the cross of Calvary. And by the way, this is not just speaking This is not speaking of all churches or everything that today calls itself a church. Matthew 16, 18 is speaking, listen carefully, don't miss this. Matthew 16, 18 is speaking of a special, unique, certain, particular group of people. Who is it talking about? Well, number three there, letter C under this church, is the Greek word ekklesia. It means a called out assembly. You all know that. You've heard that before. Ekklesia. It speaks back to the old Greek city-states of the town crier who would go through the town and say, hey, we've got a meeting. Come on up. We need to get together. We need to meet. We've got some business to take care of. It was that town crier that would call the people out. That's where that word ekklesia comes from. There are many today different churches or ekklesias or called out assemblies. A lot of different churches today. But listen carefully, folks, but only one church of Jesus Christ, and it ain't the Latter-day Saints. Yeah, man, it ain't the Latter-day Saints, all right? God the Father draws and Jesus Christ offers and the Holy Spirit convicts us of our need of salvation. The true church today is comprised of all those who have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. John chapter 10, the Bible says, Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not because you're not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The church today, listen, folks, and don't miss this. There's a lot of people today, and this is not the message, but there's a lot of people today that'll talk about the universal church. Woo! Universal church today, basically, folks, is a doctrine, a false doctrine today that allows people to sit in a deer stand when they're supposed to be at church. The church is local, folks. The church is local. There are people that are saved worldwide, but they're part of local assemblies, local believers, local people getting together around the Word of God and a preacher preaching to them. The church is worldwide in scope, yet local in assembly and practice. In other words, Christians live all over the world, and we're commanded to reach the world. Yet our church is a local assembly of believers in a close geographical location, and it will continue to be that way until the Lord Jesus Christ returns one day soon to, by the way, usher us all up to heaven with him. Then letter D, he says this in that verse in Matthew 16, the gates of hell should not prevail against it. I'm going to use two big words in church this morning, divine perpetuity. Divine perpetuity. Bible college students know what I'm talking about because that was in our history class, all right? But the words here, the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Hell is the word sheol. It literally means the word death. Prevail there means shall not prevail against it, means overpower. God promises divine perpetuity to his church. This simply means that the church will exist forever. Eternal death will not prevail over the bride of Christ, and Satan cannot stop the work of the local church. Thank God for that, all right? By the way, even though he tries. When Satan has attacked the church down through history, what has happened? The church has spread like wildfire. When persecution came to the early church, folks, what happened in the book of Acts? It went worldwide because persecution came. So when Satan attacks, God blesses and God empowers and God enlarges, okay? But then letter B, watch this. A church is an assembly of saved and baptized believers who assemble for fellowship and worship and carrying out the Great Commission. That's what we're doing today. We're assembling today for worship, for fellowship, and to further the Great Commission. The gospel will be preached today. That's what church is about, right? The church is not the building, it's the people. The church is not the building, it's the people. That's Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. Listen, folks, it's hard to have a church without people. By the way, I've tried to do that a few times at Victory Baptist Church. I started with four people. that was hard. By the way, listen very carefully, folks. You know what? The only thing harder than preaching to four people when I first started Victory was preaching during the pandemic to nobody. We were shut down for 7 weeks like Blessed Hope was, and Pastor Ross will tell you this is true, coming in here literally and preaching behind a pulpit and there's nobody sitting out there. We know that the message is getting out, but it's not the same, folks, as not having people in the pews. It's hard to have church without people, okay? Bible churches, and I don't even have time to teach this morning either, Bible churches always have three distinct characteristics: local, public and visible, and visible, not invisible, public and visible, and then organized. And I've got some description of that there in your lesson. You can look at that. Now, let me get quickly into this idea of Bible church planting. What is Bible church planting? I'm going to blow your minds. It is something so deep, something so complex. It is hard for the mind today to comprehend what Bible church planting is. Here's what biblical church planting is. Biblical church planting is winning souls to Jesus Christ in a close geographical area and then organizing them for worship, fellowship, in the furtherance of the Great Commission. That's all it is. If you study through the book of Acts, folks, do you know what you're going to see happen? You're going to see the Apostle Paul and all these other disciples and apostles. You're going to see them go from town to town to town to town to town. Do you know what they did? They took a survey and they asked the people what kind of church they wanted. That's not what they did. That's not what they did. They didn't get on social media and try to build their church through social media. They went from door to door to door, person to person to person, winning every single person they could to Jesus Christ. And then pretty soon, listen, folks, you know what? There's a group of people there. And then you organize those people. And then you get those people motivated to go out and to share the gospel with their friends and their friends and their friends. And that's how the church grows. And listen very carefully, folks. That is church planting today. There's an emphasis. There's an over, and I'm going to say this later on too again. I'm going to say it twice because it needs to be emphasized, all right? But there is an overemphasis today by a lot of church planters on the physical and the administrative, and a lack of emphasis on going out and winning people to Christ. And that's the problem, okay? But listen very carefully. Antioch and Philippi were two of the first Bible examples of church planting being put into action. I don't have time to go through these passages this morning, but I've got the verse references there for you. The church at Antioch, we just read about that there in Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Let me just walk down through what happens here. Look back at your Bible there in Acts chapter 11. First of all, the gospel seed was sown by the faithful labor of God's people. Acts chapter 11, verse number 20. The Bible says, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. The message has not changed in 2,000 plus years. The message is still the same. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's the message. Souls were won from the seed being sown. Verse number 21, the Bible says, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Number three then, a mother church, Jerusalem, assisted in the planting of this new work. Acts chapter 11, verse 22, then tidings of these things came into the ears, unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. And so Jerusalem said, hey, listen, how can we help you? We're going to send you Barnabas. He'll be a help in organizing you and getting you motivated and getting everything structured so that you all can faithfully and effectively carry out the gospel plan, right? A mother church came alongside and assisted in this new work. By the way, what Blessed Hope Baptist Church does is biblical and it is right. And by the way, it's needed. It's biblical, it's right, and it's needed. All right? I don't even have time to teach all that. All right? You all understand what I'm talking about. Number four, growth, leadership, and organization of the new converts was needed. Verse number 22. The Bible talks about that. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Why? The Bible says there in verse 23, who when he came had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man full of the Holy Ghost and faith and all that. Listen, folks, they needed organization. Listen, by the way, God is not the author of confusion either. I don't have time to teach this either because I promised you I was going to get you out now and I ain't going to get you out now. I've been a part, folks, of for about a two-year plan before my church, before my family migrated to Claysmore Baptist Church back when I was a young person. We were involved in a home church for 2 years. You see this a lot in the homeschool realm, by the way. But we were involved in a home church, and the initial idea and the reason Mom and Dad were a part of this is because there were some things going on at the church that we were at that were not biblical, and the direction they were heading was not biblical. So we left that church because it was not biblical, right? But then they organized with some people that initially wanted to be biblical. But then, listen, folks, they did not have a pastor. There was not a pastor, and the men of that group would lead the Bible studies. And by the way, initially, that's what happens here in a lot of the cases in the Bible. But after it continued to grow, then a pastor was called, and then boom, it happened, and it just took off. But after a little while, mom and dad saw that the people that were there were getting complacent and comfortable and didn't want to have a pastor that would come in and preach the Bible to them. And so mom and dad were searching, and they decided to break. By the way, these were people that we loved, that we had grown up with, friends of ours, close friends. Break with them. And by the way, severed a lot of relationships, not because of us, but because of them. And the Lord then led us to Claysmore Baptist Church, and the rest is history with us. But listen, folks, the fact of the matter is, you know what? That leadership is needed. And by the way, it's Bible. And by the way, I'm thankful for the fact that Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and the Lord, first of all, led us here. But then Blessed Hope was I don't know what the word would be, crazy enough. I mean that with all due respect. Was crazy enough to look at a 25-year-old kid like me and say, you know what? Hey, we're gonna go ahead and support that guy. We believe that he's the one for victory, and that you guys allowed us to come and to be the pastor over there. Because listen, folks, you know what? The Lord's been good. He has. But you know, every church needs that. Listen, and by the way, that's the reason why Brother James Young is going down to plant this church, all right? They need that man, all right? The assembly, number next, and watch this, the assembly continued to faithfully assemble. The assembly assembled. That's another dig there at the universal church idea. It's hard to assemble if you're universal. The assembly assembled, all right? Verse number 26, and then last of all, the church plant grew to the point that they could begin to help others in the Lord. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that the Bible plan? This church there in Antioch, they grew and grew and grew to the point that they then could begin to look out for the needs of other people and to begin to help other people and reach out to other churches that needed help. That's the Bible plan. It's the reason why, listen, folks, Victory Baptist Church, when Brother Reiser was going to start White River, Brother Reiser told me this, we were the first church after Blessed Hope that took them on for support because I want to be a part of that. And our church wanted to be a part of that. And then when Brother James Young, I found out that, listen, he was at my church 3 weeks after I found out about it. Back in July, we had him. Before he even started going out on deputation, we had him come over. He didn't even know all the numbers and stuff yet. But he came, he presented it. Hey, I'm starting a church in Jasper. Okay, we're there. Because I want to be a part of that. We're a church that you all helped start that is now helping to start other churches that you're helping to start. That's the Bible plan, all right? After the solid foundation was laid in Antioch, then Paul and Barnabas went out to other towns and continued the work. They went to the church at Philippi. I don't even have time to talk about this. They didn't go to the church at Philippi. They went and started the church at Philippi. Remember the Apostle Paul, the Macedonian vision, goes across to Macedonia. Remember he comes up there and he finds a group of men that were wholehearted in serving God, right? Nope. He found a group of women down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Y'all know that song? All right. Just figuring out where I'm at. But finds this group of ladies down praying by the riverside, wins Lydia to the Lord. Yeah, by the way, witnesses to this little damsel. Yeah, she trusts the Lord. By the way, hurts the business of the people who were in charge of her. They get thrown in jail. By the way, because Paul and Silas responded, because they were bitter and angry and mad and hostile in prison, the Lord used them, right? No, they're at midnight singing praises to God in the prison cell, when they went down there, you know, at the leading of the Spirit of God. They're singing praises to God. And what happens? Earthquake. Jailer is one. Jailer's household is one. Lydia's household was one. Damsel's one. Now there's a good core of people there. They continue there. Listen, folks, for another year or so, winning people to Christ and helping people to grow. And church at Philippi then started. By the way, what happened to the church at Philippi? The church at Philippi then, because of their love for the Apostle Paul and how Paul had helped them, the church at Philippi then began to communicate after Paul moved on, began to communicate to the Apostle Paul things that he would need, necessities that he had, monetary donations to help him be able to accomplish the work of God in his life. You know, they figured out, folks, that every time the Apostle Paul has to, listen carefully, don't miss this, you're in missions month. Every time the Apostle Paul has to stop winning people to Christ and make a tent to take care of his, you know, himself and his needs, that the work of Christ was being hindered. So the church at Philippi said, hey, we want to help the Apostle Paul not have to make tents so that he can continue to win people to Christ. So they continue to send to him. And you know what happened? By the way, in I believe it's in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, when he writes the church, by the way, the second letter there to the church at Corinth, go through a lot of church history here this morning, all right? But when Paul writes to the church at Corinth the second time, what does he do? He uses the church at Philippi, a church that, by the way, he established, winning a lady to the Lord and her family, a jailer to the Lord and his family, and this little damsel. He uses the church at Philippi then as the example of missions giving. Listen, I mean, this is Bible, folks. This is how churches are established. You don't need to take a survey. You don't need to go out there and ask people what kind of church they want. God already told us what kind of church people need. Doesn't matter what they want. What matters is what they need. They need somebody to come in and preach the gospel to them. And by the way, you know, there's this idea that I've got it in the lesson here. Got to hurry up and finish up, all right? He told me 25. I'm going to try to get you out of there earlier, all right? Go down through the notes and look at the church at Philippi, folks. I've got it broken down there for you, all right? Let me get here quickly to the last part. Practical keys to a successful church plan. Letter A, watch this. And there's a lot there. If you need some blanks filled in, come up afterwards, I'll give them to you. Practical keys to a successful church plan. The will of God and the power of God have to be there. Have to. Now, listen, folks, it has to be of God if it's going to work. It's the reason why, I mean, you know, you guys are, and Pastor Ross does a great job of bringing the idea to the church and then getting the church to pray about it and seek the Lord's face on that thing. And then, listen, folks, as the Holy Spirit, by the way, a church that's being led by the Spirit of God, listen, folks, has unity of spirit and purpose. Listen, by the way, if you're the only one that's against it, there may be a problem. If like 95% of the church is against it and you're insistent that it's not, there may be an issue there, all right? Listen, folks, but the fact of the matter is he does a great job of bringing the idea. I would love to have been a fly on the wall in that meeting. Hey, there's this church over in Bloomfield that's getting ready to close down. Let's do this, 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 and this. What? You're going to bring who? He's from Kentucky. No, I'm just kidding, all right? We are not doing that. That's stupid. I'm just kidding, all right? But listen, folks, I mean, it's Bible. It's right. The will of God and the power of God are leading the way. Watch this. A God-called man willing to sow the gospel seed, win souls to Christ, baptize converts in the town that God leads him to. That is church planting. A man willing to preach the Bible whereby the church grows spiritually strong in the Lord. Now, listen, folks, I mean, you know, wouldn't give you a doubt. Listen, I'm not going to support at Victory Baptist Church a church planter who's not going to preach the whole counsel of God. And by the way, James Young is worthy of that investment. He's going to come in and preach it. He believes right. He's going to preach right. A man willing to organize his church so they obey the Bible plan for worship, fellowship, furthering the gospel. An invested pastor and mother church willing to help assist in planning the church. Prayer, financial, canvassing, site, and building prep, encouragement, counsel, all these different ways. Sister churches then who will partner with the mother church and do their part to help the plant the church. By the way, that's Bible too. And go through different passages there. A laser focus on winning the lost and helping Christians grow. And that's the practical keys. Now, last of all, common misconceptions toward church planting. You have to go where the fish are. People told me that. I had people tell me that. I had people that I love, that I respect, that I went to for counsel tell me that. You have to go where the fish are. What they're saying about that is you need to go where there's a lot more people than Bloomfield is. Hey, newsflash, folks. Some of the best fishing you'll ever do are in small farm ponds. Come on. Hey, by the way, listen, folks. Do you know what there is in Bloomfield? There's 2,000 people that need Jesus Christ. Yeah, no, there's not 350,000, but there's 2,000. And by the way, there's nobody there. And oh, by the way, here's the predominant factor. God told us to go there. And there's two, by the way, and this is the case too. You guys do it the right way. We do it the right way. But listen, folks, do you understand there's church planting boards today? And the boards decide where the person goes, not God. It happens. This is where God has put me, a butt of burden. No, you need to rethink that. Let's go over here. There's more people over there instead. Oh, come on, folks. You got to go where the fish are. You need to survey the town to see where we've already dealt with that one, all right? That's one of my favorite misconceptions, all right? Take a survey. Figure out what the people want. Church planting doesn't work. In other words, folks, what they do is they look at a couple of times where maybe a pastor went to a town and there was an investment there. Listen, folks, how many times have you all had a garden in a spot and maybe figured out that that spot wasn't everything it cracked up to be? You know what you do? You get your tiller out in the spring. You till up a different spot. You ever been there? You kept your garden in the same spot for the last 30 years? Sometimes you got to move spots, folks. And sometimes that happens. But listen, folks, it doesn't mean that it failed. If that pastor went in there and won people to Christ and preached the gospel, and it may have been as a testimony. So listen, folks, what I'm saying is this. Be careful how you look at these church planters that are going to come through. And by the way, the history of Blessed Hope and going forward, be careful about how you judge the church planters. There's been a lot of church planters that have been good and faithful men that have gone in and worked in a community, and for some reason the soil of that community would not accept them nor hear them. It is not because that man was a failure.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Right. It's because God sent him there as a testimony against that town. Let's be careful in that, all right? You know what these church planters need? You know what James, he needs a mother church that will partner with him, by the way, you are, that'll pray for them, encourage them, support them, do everything you can to make sure it's a success. And that's the Bible plan.